Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
It's been a long time since I've fired up the After Hours super secret home base. Not since 21. But here I am, and I have a dog to blame. And honestly, it's fine now. I feel like a fish out of water when I started because it had been so long since I'd worked from home. And I do not enjoy it for a lot of reasons, which I've already shared. You can always grab the podcast, but it's not my favorite thing. I'm way out of my comfort zone. But I do believe that sometimes it's a convenience, and so I cheated and I asked the bosses if I could be home so that I wouldn't have to leave Penny, who's dealing with some medical issues, of course, because the dog is a walking disaster. Poor thing. I feel so bad. I'm so glad that I have a dog that's about to turn 14. No joke. She turns 14 a month from now. And it's amazing how well she moves. We still go for walks, multiple walks every day. She gets up and down the stairs 3 to 4 times a day. I mean, she's diabetic. She's on steroids. She's got anti-inflammatories that she takes. I mean, she's got chronic bronchitis. The dog's a mess. And now for the first time, and she's dealt with some allergies in the past, for the first time, she's got these gigantic hot spots, two of them on her hip. And I couldn't leave her because she wouldn't leave them alone. Yeah, we've had a day. Let me just tell you. She's anxious. She paces. She pants. But right now she's sleeping because, you know, why not? She's worn out. I guess it's a good thing. Oh, I forgot this one, Jay. She's also deaf, so she can't hear me talking on the radio. When I first did shows from home during the spring of 2020, she and the two cats were never sleeping during the show because they couldn't, because I was keeping them awake. Not the case anymore. I guess that would be, what, 3 years ago now? So over the course of the last 3 years, Penny has lost the majority of her hearing. She can still hear if I drop something on the floor and it makes a loud noise, or if I slam the door, she can hear. She cannot hear me talking much. So I guess that's another medical malady that at least protects her from having to listen to me all the time. No, don't make any jokes about how you all wish that you were partially deaf and couldn't hear me either. That's not funny. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jeff on Twitter believes that I should make a YouTube video with Penny snoring. Actually, every now and then she does dream and run in her dreams. And so her legs are kicking. I think most dogs have that same issue. But right now she's just tuckered out. She's worn out after keeping me awake all day and wearing me out. Now she's finally tired. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you would like to vote for TD of the week, you can do that. That poll is now live on both of our social media sites, or Let's see. I think Monday MVP may be waning. Oh, yeah. You've got 2 minutes left. Go, 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 go. The After Hours Monday MVP. That poll is about to close. So we will do the big reveal sometime this final hour. It was the end of week 6 in the NFL, and you knew there would be a ton of attention on the Dallas Cowboys because, hey, I did call them America's team in my CBS Sports Minute. Not sure if you could tell I was tongue-in-cheek. It's an age-old nickname for this team, but one of the reasons is because of their popularity. Not necessarily because they represent the United States or they have more fans than, say, I don't know, Packers who travel well, Bills travel well. Heck, even now, the Lions fans are traveling to Tampa and making such a ruckus that Dan Campbell is acknowledging it. The Steelers travel really well. There are plenty of fan bases between the pros and college football where they go if the team goes. As the team goes, they go. But the Cowboys definitely have that. And as our guest last hour pointed out, they also hold their training camp in preseason in Southern California. So there's an established fan base there as well. But man, it was hella loud for the Cowboys inside SoFi Stadium on Monday night. So you knew there'd be a lot of eyeballs. We'll wait and see how the ratings go. And there were these flashes where you got the high-powered, potent offenses that a lot of people were expecting, but there were also these downtimes. And man, a lot of activity in the red zone, even if there weren't a lot of points coming from the red zone. But yeah, right away, we got some of the fireworks that we wanted.
It's third and goal at the one of Dallas. Chargers have it in the gun, the Charger quarterback, Herbert. Receiver in motion, shotgun snap, quick throw, far side, on the goal line, falling down, Allen catches, belt high, touchdown, inside the pylon, far side of the field, and the Chargers have struck first on a one-yard touchdown pass by Justin Herbert after a terrific punt return, sets up their great field position, 6-0 Chargers early in the first.
Prescott is in the gun. Back on his right, they'll give it to Pollard, and he's going to be hit from me. Oh, he kept it. He's still good running up the middle. Touchdown. Oh, he faked me out. He did not fake out Jake Goldberg. He said, no, he's got it. What a great fake, and an 18-yard run up the middle by Dak Prescott.
Yeah, that was an impressive play call, but also a really good read by Dak himself, as you hear with Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network. So we did get each team with touchdowns in the first quarter, and woo, we are off and running. Except the two teams combined for more punts than points over the next two quarters. Not that there was nothing happening. There was plenty of action. And you got to see, again, that Dallas defense and how bold and confident they are, especially when they're deep in their red zone, right? So the way that they're able to protect the goal line, we saw it against the Chargers. As many assets and playmakers as the Chargers have offensively, not just Justin Herbert, but Austin Eckler, though the run game, it was tough for it to produce some yards. The receivers that they have, Keenan Allen, another missing Mike Williams, but they do have plenty of playmakers on the offense. And yet multiple times during this game in the red zone, the Cowboys were able to prevent points. That happened late in the first half, though I don't know what was going on with the Cowboys in the red zone. This was a strange decision by Mike McCarthy. A lot of consternation over him choosing not to run another play inside the red zone on the last possession of the first half. Instead, there's a timeout called, but he doesn't want the timeout. So the clock mysteriously goes from 8 seconds to 3 seconds. I'm not kidding you. I rewound multiple times on my TV to try to figure out how I missed 5 seconds. I thought maybe the broadcast jumped. I didn't know where those 5 seconds went to. I've never been so frustrated about a missing 5 seconds in my life. And so instead of trying to take a shot at the end zone when they seemingly had 8 seconds left, they settle for a field goal. So yeah, there were some decisions, some execution in the red zone that I'm sure made plenty of people either yell or throw something at the TV. I actually had to stop doing that when I was younger. I used to throw the remote. Not a good scene. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Ultimately, the Cowboys defense just didn't allow much room or any success in the red zone for the fourth and one that started the second half. So we're talking on the 7-yard line, and still the Cowboys weren't allowing a whole lot of room to run. And so the Chargers kept trying to pass it on those downs and didn't have some success. Man, the play that will stick with me was Deron Bland, who's able to fly in there in front of Josh Palmer and knock a ball away. It would have been a touchdown easily if not for Bland, right? And he had a couple of really big plays, near interception later in the game as well. So the defense really sets the tone for the Cowboys. But I also thought Dak played very well. He looked smart. He looked locked in and focused. He was able to adjust on the fly. There were times where, you know, his first option wasn't there, so he's taking the second or the third. Engineered some long drives, a couple of 75-yard drives, and he admitted that he had a lot to make up for. After that Niners game, there's a lot of criticism, and I know he may not care about that, but feeling like he let the team down and wanted to make amends and remind the team what that offense is capable of.
Good block in the backfield. Prescott left side of the end zone. Brandon Cooks caught it. Touchdown. Cooks calling everybody over to help in the celebration. That's the first Dallas Cowboys touchdown for Brandon Cooks.
Welcome to the Cowboys, Brandon Cooks. There's a lot of reaction to that on social media, but man, that was a gorgeous rainbow pass by Dak Prescott off his back foot to find Cooks streaking across the wasn't really even the back of the end zone, just going right to left across the end zone with the defender right there, and yet the ball was dropped so perfectly in. It reminded me of a jump shot, one of those rainbow jump shots that you might see from a center in the NBA, in just goes up and brings down the rain. It was perfect trajectory. So yeah, we got to see, I thought, a more confident and comfortable Dak Prescott. Not that there weren't moments he would have back, and he said that after the game, there are still a lot of ways that he feels like this offense can be more potent. But give credit to the Chargers. They were able to sack him multiple times. They were getting to him. Interestingly enough, as much as the Dallas defense was a wall inside the red zone and kept turning the Chargers away without touchdowns a lot of times, they were not getting the sacks. That's kind of funny. They weren't getting the sacks that they normally get. And even though they had a few quarterback hits, and I know there was a bunch of pressure on Justin Herbert, they weren't able to capitalize. I kind of felt like that was one area where I expected a little more from that Chargers or from the Cowboys defense initially. And so, yeah, you go into that, the final stages of the fourth quarter, the Cowboys put a field goal on the board, and so they take the lead again. This is after a weird botched punt. It wasn't even the punt returner. It was another Cowboy that touched it, and it was a loose ball, and he probably didn't even realize that he wasn't supposed to touch it first, or maybe he just thought he was going to be able to wrap it up. So yeah, that slippery little sucker, it bounces funny. So yeah, kind of a couple of twists and turns late in the game, but after the Chargers tie it up, much to the delight of the one female fan who was so intense and going viral, not just on TV, and they kept showing her. Goodness. Jay, did you find any of the memes from this female fan at SoFi?
I did.
Okay, so can you share them on our show Twitter?
On it.
Okay, so she got a lot of airtime, maybe because there were so many other Cowboys fans in the building. But yeah, she was so intense and so engaged and living and dying with every snap for the Chargers. So they did have at least a couple of fans there. But yeah, so that the late stages of the game, you kind of see the Chargers through her eyes and wondering if she can even make it through a season of the Chargers, kind of leaving her wanting more. So they capitalize. They can look like world beaters at times, but yes, they're still the Chargers. So they are behind, but they've got the football. Time left on the clock. Plenty of time. If we're to believe that Justin Herbert is the franchise quarterback, the quarterback that can take them to the next level, the quarterback who is worthy of the money that they're paying him. I don't know what other pieces they have, but at least the Chargers are confident in their quarterback. Well, this was an opportunity for him to show up and to remind people that it's a new era of the I almost said San Diego, of the Los Angeles Chargers, except it didn't happen.
Second and two, Herbert back.
Whoa.
Rush, hit, sack. We had Micah Parsons got it, babe, and I were just talking during the break, and I said, zero sacks for the Dallas Cowboys. And that's the first one. Third and 10 at the Charger 25. Minute 32 in the game. Herbert back. Pressure coming again. Throws it out. Intercepted. Gilmore jumped in at the Los Angeles 32. And you can credit the pressure for that one.
So they save their best for last. Micah Parsons gets the only official sack. Micah has his moment on primetime. And then the interception by Stephon Gilmore, one of the wily veterans. He's been in a lot of different places. Of course, every situation you possibly can be. As you know, he's traveled around the league, a Super Bowl winner. So Gilmore comes away with yet another big interception in his career. So the defense, again, makes that last stand, that exclamation point, that statement. But from the Chargers' perspective, I know they're missing Mike Williams, and that definitely hurts. Austin Ekeler doesn't appear to be back in game shape yet, or not have that same explosiveness yet, but he is back on the field, so that's good. But then there's Justin Herbert, who misses a couple of throws, and it's not as though quarterbacks can't have poor performances, right? And I don't even know if you'd classify this one as poor. It's not as though quarterbacks can't have an off night where, you know, they're feeling the pressure. Maybe they're just not in that same groove or that same wavelength with their receivers. But Justin Herbert is the guy that the Chargers believe can kind of bust them through this glass ceiling or brick wall, whichever barrier you want to use. It seems to be the same story with the Chargers over and over again. And so if you missed my conversation with our Chargers insider, you know, I asked him about Brandon Staley and how hot is the seat under him, because they've changed so much. They've changed their front office. They've changed their coaching staff. Heck, they've got a brand new offensive coordinator this year. They believe in Justin Herbert, and he has all the physical tools. Absolutely does. He's got the personality as well to be a starting quarterback at the highest level in the NFL. But they do have weapons on both sides of the ball. And for some reason, it just doesn't ever seem to click. I know that's very technical analysis, but that's the point of the Chargers. They can be so befuddling. It defies logic at times. Why aren't they better? Why can't they break through? And yet, what do we think about the Chargers? They find new ways to lose, creative and innovative ways to lose, to cough up leads, to not capitalize on their potential. To take nothing away from the Dallas defense, I mean, heck, you could say the same thing about Dallas sometimes too, right? Will the real Dallas Cowboys please stand up? But now that we are through 6 weeks of the season, this is where you'll start to see separation. I mean, we're seeing a little bit of it, right? We've got a bunch of teams, or a handful of teams, that are 5-1. We've got a handful of teams that are 1-5, the Panthers that are 0-4. A lot of teams kind of bunched together in the middle. Can the Chargers stay in the middle? Can they put up a challenge against the Chiefs? There's still plenty of time left, and they still do have the two games against Kansas City. I want for that female fan who is so engaged and so intense to have some relief, to have some chill, but also want to see them take the team to the next level, because it's not like they are a roster with no talent. That's not the case. Just sometimes makes you want to bang your head against that proverbial wall. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, you can vote for TD of the Week, or you can find me. I don't mind if you come up with all kinds of goofy reasons why I'm working from the after hours super secret home base. I've seen some funny ones, like I'm in witness protection. I've got turf toe. I ate another goldfish off the floor of my car. I actually learned my lesson there. I have not done that. On our Facebook page too. We're glad to have you with us. Good Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, October 17th. What? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is.
Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City. And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We are through week 6 of the NFL season. Kind of crazy, and yet it does fly by. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cowboys and Chargers, two pretty high-profile quarterbacks on Monday Night Football. Whether or not you believe Dak is among the elite, most people would tell you that Justin Herbert has the physical tools to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, though we haven't quite seen it on a consistent basis. But he does have the money to prove it. For Dak, much better performance than what we saw from the Cowboys all around, really, against the Niners. But he definitely had something to prove, though he never is satisfied. The Cowboys at 4-2, but he wants more.
It's huge for us to get to 4-2. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But as I talked about our message throughout these days, we're moving forward and running our race, honestly. You've got to show up week in and week out in this league. If you look back at this past weekend, obviously that shows you that. Obviously, as it gets latter part of the year, it'll show a playoff picture, but we've got to focus on getting better, peaking at the right time, being the best versions of ourselves every week that we show up, and just continuing to make strides of getting better.
How many cliches did you hear there, Jay? There had to be at least 4 of them.
Yeah, minimum 4.
Dak Prescott, he may not pay attention to the noise around him, but as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, there will always be that extra pressure that's ratcheted up. And the fact that he is a veteran, and at times he looks like a rookie, and he makes mistakes that you don't understand what's going through his mind. But he played smart. He played heads-up football, obviously really accurate, and led his team to a victory on the road-ish, on Monday night. So, okay, you can go into the bye and you feel like you've maybe gotten back on the right track. Can they be consistent from week in and week out? As I say, will the real Dallas Cowboys please stand up? As for Justin Herbert, he missed a couple of big-time throws, right? Ones that could have been touchdowns. The one to Keenan Allen in the fourth quarter just sailed on him. Allen had nobody around. He didn't look like he was in a rhythm. Credit the Dallas Cowboys defense, but still, it at times, it can be frustrating because you know there's so much more there.
They've got a really good front seven. I thought our offensive line battled and they did a great job up front. Unfortunately, we fell short. It didn't go our way on the ground today. And, I think it's just a testament to how good they played. And, I think we can do a lot better on offense, and especially at quarterback, I can play a lot better. So, I thought the defense came up with some big stops today, held them when we needed them to. So it's on us as an offense.
Again, he's got all the physical tools to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and can, I do believe, take the Chargers to the next level. It's just they seem to run into these same issues all the time. But still, for Dallas and for guys like Stephon Gilmore, it's a challenge to face a guy who's so athletic and can make every throw.
He's a great quarterback. You know, he got a strong arm. He liked to throw the ball a lot. He got some good receivers, so he was able to play tight coverage. They made some plays. We made some plays. And like I said, we made more plays than they did.
I know Chargers fans may not want to be reminded of this, but they did make the playoffs last year. Ended up having that embarrassing collapse against the Jacksonville Jaguars in the second half, but that is absolutely what we know the Chargers for. Will it be any different this season? That is the question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's stay in the same AFC West where Jimmy Garoppolo did not play in the second half for the Raiders on Sunday. His head coach, Josh McDaniels, with an update on what was classified as a back injury.
There was some concern yesterday
that we would, you know, there was an internal issue. So we did a bunch of scans yesterday, last night. Seems like we've dodged a big bullet in that regard. So that's good news. You know, we're still doing a couple things this morning. And we'll, you know, kind of make sure we do all the right things here as we go forward. But the prognosis is a lot better than it might have otherwise been. Don't know yet for this week, relatively speaking. So there's a lot still to, I'd say, uncover in that regard. But good news.
Jay, what is that noise? What was happening behind Josh McDaniels?
I think someone's trying to tame a lion.
That, or have you ever heard those paper cutters when you drop the blade and it makes that noise? I swear that's what it sounded like.
That was a great call.
Okay, so we don't know about week 7 with Jimmy Garoppolo, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be a long-term injury. So for those of you who are piling on Jimmy, he can't stay healthy, well, sounds like he may be back to torment you. Hey, the Raiders are on the road at the Bears. They've also got a quarterback question. Matt Eberflus lost his starter Justin Fields to a hand/thumb on Sunday. What's the update?
Justin Fields dislocated his thumb.
Ow!
X-rays were negative. We did the MRI today. There's no timetable right now. He's going to, it's really going to come down to grip strength. And natural swelling that occurs with this injury, so we should know more at the end of the week. Is he going to play this week? Looks to be doubtful right now for that. But again, we'll see at the end of the week, and we'll be able to make that that known at the end of the week. So that's where it is with that.
I'm not counting any wins before they are actually in the column, but let's just say for the sake of argument that the Raiders go to Chicago. There's no Justin Fields. The Raiders able to get a victory. Maybe they have Jimmy Garoppolo, which would be helpful. But either way, let's just say they move above 500. I mean, you might have to give Josh McDaniels a little credence. You might have to give them a little credit if they are trying to keep pace with the Chiefs and they go on the road and they get another win. I mean, it's unconventional. Sometimes it makes you want to pull your hair out, I'm sure, as a Raiders fan. But if you're above 500 through 7 weeks, still better than where the Chargers are right now. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. So, yes, Chicago hosting Las Vegas coming up in week number 7. Moving on with some of the injury updates, Trevor Lawrence left the Jaguars' victory on Sunday with a knee injury. Now, he said it was just precautionary, wanted to get it checked out, but Doug Peterson.
He's day-to-day.
Thank you for that update, Coach. He's day-to-day. Nothing else? That's it? That's all you got for
day-to-day.
Us? That's it? That's all you got for us? Whew. Okay, well, let's stay in that same division, the AFC South, hoping that Mike Vrabel provides at least a little more intel on Ryan Tannehill's ankle.
We'll see how it goes. You know, we've got some time here for our next game, and, you know, Ryan will get, treat round the clock, and, you know, this will be a big week to see how he progresses, and then we'll make a decision on his availability next week and what we do then.
Made me a little nervous when I saw some of the quotes and heard Coach Vrabel talking about how it's the same issue that Ryan dealt with last year. You remember he was out and never came back, this high ankle sprain. So we'll see whether or not those two quarterbacks are on the field come week 7 in the AFC South. In the NFC South, Derek Carr is healthy. He's back on the field, but he is not happy. I would say probably along the same lines of Baker Mayfield. What did he say after their loss to the Lions on Sunday? I sucked, we sucked, the whole thing sucked. Well, Derek Carr doesn't use the same words, but he feels pretty similarly.
For sure, yesterday there was some miscommunications. There was some audibles that were done, and we're not on the same page and all those things. And until we get on the same page, there's going to be sucky feelings. And so... you know, if it takes extra time studying, if it takes extra time, you know, with your coach, whatever it takes to make sure that, you know, when those situations come up, we can just do the right things. We have the talent to do the right things, but we have to do the right things, even if the look may change this much, you know, to finish those drives.
Now, if you don't remember what happened with the Saints, they were against the Texans on Sunday. They had a lot of offensive yards. I mean, over 400 yards, but they were 0-for in the red zone. They missed a couple of field goals, and Derek Carr was really angry. He said that he spent Sunday night and Monday morning talking to his receivers, so Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, trying to work out some of their issues, but he used the word livid. He was livid after the game and had a brief, I wouldn't call it an altercation, I'd call it an exchange, a frustrated exchange with his offensive coordinator on the sidelines.
I apologize to Pete, actually, on the airplane, because I was talking to Pete, but I wasn't talking about Pete. Pete and I know exactly what I was talking about and why. And, you know, when the game's on the line, you know, that's when you have to be on every detail of your assignment. And I was a little upset at some of those things. And so it had nothing to do with Pete. He just happened to be the one that walked up when I was a little angry.
Derek Carr is the opposite of every other quarterback or pro athlete who uses coach speak, right? He does not use cliches. He does not use platitudes. The man wears his heart on his sleeve. He's been that way his entire career, for better or for worse. You've seen him cry, and now you've heard him talk about being livid. He's apologized to his OC. It wasn't that it was the coordinator's fault. Nah, it was just that Pete, as he calls him, Pete Carmichael, he was the one that happened to be in proximity when Derek Carr needed to vent.
Crap.
Don't we all need buddies to whom we can vent? They won't hold it against us. They just listen. They absorb it. They recognize that it's maybe misplaced or displaced aggression. Well, that was Derek Carr, and he apologized because that's also Derek Carr. And so, yeah, the Saints have got to figure it out because the division is wide open, the NFC South.
We suck today. It was awful.
There's a lot of sucky in the NFC South over the weekend, right? I mean, that's what we heard from both Derek as well as Baker Mayfield. But not so with the New York Jets. Oh, Robert Saleh. He may not be talking about Aaron Rodgers glowing in the dark, but you know, having Aaron on the sidelines with no crutches but with a headset, it just changes everything for the Jets.
His superpower is his presence.
Oh, stop it.
And him being in this building, being around his teammates, being in the locker room, his positive attitude, his thoughts of manifestation and all that stuff, I think
oh,
it's powerful.
It.
And so obviously as a coach, of course, selfishly, I want him here every single day. I want him in every meeting. I want him on the practice field. I want him on the sideline. I want him in the locker room, selfishly, because he's an unbelievable human. And outside of scheme and playing ability, the intangibles that he brings to his teammates and the fuel I think his teammates will give to him is priceless.
Can't you just say he's a veteran quarterback with a lot of experience?
The guy glows in the dark.
Can't you just say he's willing to share? Can't you just say he has a great impact on a bunch of our young guys like Zach Wilson and Garrett Wilson? Can't you just say that he brought some great locker room guys with him and Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb? And can't you just say that?
Okay.
No, you have to talk about how he glows in the dark. You have to talk about how something manifestation of his superpowers. I don't even know. My goodness. I do have someone who loves me the way that Robert Saleh loves Aaron Rodgers. Aww.
I'm not a dumb jock.
Do you think that was romantic? Let's hope Bob listens to this portion of the show, because there, that's about the best compliment I can give him.
That's pretty high praise.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, guess what notification I just got on my phone? You ready? What did I just tell you about why I had to work from home?
Uh-oh. Is it arrived or is it?
Yes.
Oh, good.
The package just arrived. I didn't even see. I'm afraid to like peek out the window. What if he's staring in the window? I turned the lights on, so he obviously knows there's someone awake in here. But yes, the Amazon delivery driver did just drop the package for Penny on my doorstep.
And you didn't hear him?
I did. No, I'm talking. How could I hear him? I was listening to
creeping around out there.
QB news music. How would I have heard the delivery driver show up outside?
I don't know, but
no, I don't know either. I never even saw him pull up with headlights. So yeah, like I said, I'm kind of afraid to look outside.
Is
I don't
he on
know if
foot?
He's no. He I don't know. I was doing a radio show, Jay.
How they do it this time? I don't know.
Well, it was one of those overnight deliveries, like guaranteed overnight deliveries. So yes, it's on my doorstep. Oh, and actually he took a photo. So yes, it's out there. And I could see the light on through my front door because I'm doing the show.
Imagine if he knew what was going on in there.
Thank goodness he didn't take a photo of like the front window where I'm sitting, because that would have been more creepy.
Live audience.
The Amazon delivery driver is listening to the show outside right now. Thank you, Amazon delivery guy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. I need a hero. His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP.
Lions send two receivers right, two left. Goff works out of the gun on third and 13 from the Tampa Bay 27. Play clock at four. Goff's got it. Back, looking, throws middle, complete. Amon-Ra at the 20. Cutting across, looking for a block. Gets one inside the 15. A big block to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, baby. You want to talk about teamwork? Amon-Ra with a catch. Craig Reynolds with a big block to help spring him, and the Lions find the end zone.
The road games, our fans have been awesome. I know, when Tampa was on, third down, it was kind of loud. It kind of felt like a home game for us. They were making some noise. So, any win is good in this league, but a road win definitely feels really good.
The voice of Amon-Ra St. Brown, who you chose as your Monday MVP, though I kind of feel like his teammate should get some credit. But the Detroit Lions, it's all for one and one for all, right? And it's the fans now traveling too, as you hear him say. 5-1, sharing best record in the league after they get that victory on the road at Tampa, where, they made Baker feel like he sucked, the whole team sucked, it all sucked. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Today. We suck today. It was awful.
That's because of you, Detroit Lions. It's After Hours
Enjoy
with Amy.
Enjoy the sunlight.
Okay, stop interrupting me. Let me try this again. It's after for the Amazon driver outside. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jared Goff, 350 yards passing. They didn't have much of a run game against Tampa, and that was in large part because David Montgomery got injured and there was no Jahmyr Gibbs. But for Amon-Ra, a dozen catches, 124 yards, and a score. And then Josh Reynolds deserving some credit for the big block he laid to make sure that Amon-Ra was sprung to the end zone. Speaking of David Montgomery, we did get an update on him, kind of continuing through with some of the injury updates, looking ahead to week number 7. There is a chance that Montgomery's going to miss a week, a couple weeks. So before halftime, he was out, and it was considered to be a rib injury. So right now they're dealing with Montgomery. They're dealing with Gibbs, who's been out with the hammy. And even though these guys are, feeling better, they have some time. It's going to be maybe touch and go with their run game, which means that Jared Goff is going to rack up the yards and make me look really smart for calling him an early MVP candidate. Yep, you can laugh at me if you want, but I'm not giving up on that. I'm not letting it go, at least not right this second.
I didn't know it was a poor man's anything.
And then a couple of other, rib injury that triggers Christian McCaffrey. With the oblique and rib injury, according to Kyle Shanahan on Sunday. And then Deebo Samuel, who they lost with a shoulder early in their loss, actually. I almost said victory. What? No, Cleveland Browns, that was you. You had victory Monday. So, yes, Deebo's day-to-day. Niners are getting ready to play the Vikings on Monday night. So an extra day to kind of be ready. But Deebo's day-to-day with the shoulder. As for CMC, right now, it's bit more precarious in that department. They're not sure yet. He was still going through testing on Monday. But man, when you're the guy who's getting hit all the time, and his dad was just like this, was constantly taking hits over the middle. Now, the NFL was different then in terms of blindside hits and defenseless receivers and all that jazz. But McCaffrey takes a lot of hits. His body takes a lot of pounding. So is it about pain management? Is it about whether or not he could get further injured, maybe puncture a lung if there's something, you know, the cracked rib or something along those lines? So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But the injuries are definitely racking up. It's at this point, I want to be seeing consistency from different NFL teams. I just don't feel like, you know, they're all there. And this past weekend was one in which maybe you thought, okay, the Niners are the best team in the league. The Niners have this formula that it's going to work, right? Well, against the Cleveland Browns, they were exposed and Brock Purdy did not play a great game. And so there are ways to beat them. I don't know whether or not you're going to see that on a consistent basis. Probably not. The sample size we have with Brock Purdy is that he is much more steady Eddie and that he will find a way to kind of get back into that rhythm. And he's not going to end up airmailing throws. And also, you know, the idea that there was the rain and the weather, as Peyton tells us, you got the weather. So hard to play quarterback. But maybe, just maybe, it had nothing to do with the Niners. Maybe it had to do with a pre-game brawl between the Browns and the visitors.
Oh, man, you know, just a lot of emotions going on. DB drills, you know, we right at the logo, about 45-50. You know, they're scratching right there, and those guys, you know, they were just barking, you know, and we don't back down from anybody, you know, and I feel like they picked the wrong team, you know, the bark where to poke, you know, they poked the bear, they poked the wrong team.
Oh, did they? Did they poke the bear, Martin Emerson? Huh.
I poke bears.
wait, don't tell me. Oh my gosh. That's Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks loved to poke bears.
I don't care, he's old.
Because, you know, he doesn't care. LeBron is old. By the way, LeBron was in the house last night. Who else was there? LeBron was there and Michael Irvin was there. Jimmy Johnson was there. That kind of raised a lot of eyebrows. What was he doing at a football game? They had some other star power like Jay-Z. But if you're wondering where Travis Kelce was, he was attending a baseball game. He and Jason, his brother, were at the Phillies game where they got treated to a Bryce Harper birthday celebration with another loud home run. He was just loud all around. The Phillies are just loud, and I mean that as a compliment. Their fans are just loud. I'm loud, so I can relate and I can identify. But yeah, plenty of fireworks on Monday night from Philadelphia to Texas. And then on over to SoFi in L.A., where the Cowboys fans did themselves proud. All right, Jay, I think we did it. I think we did it. Boom. I think I did it. I found a comfort zone. I'll let you know about Penny. Thank you for carrying. She's a disaster, but she's my disaster. So I got to take care of her and grab that package off my porch. Talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Build your credit history with a Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card. No credit checks to apply. Get started at Chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A., member FDIC. Chime checking account and a $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply.